All right, if you would, let's begin this morning in the Gospel of John and chapter 16. John chapter 16. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you, Lord, for giving us your word and your spirit that helps us to understand your word. Father, we thank you for the grace that comes to us by our Savior, your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and for letting us know all the things that you've freely given to us, Father. We thank you for a completed revelation, Lord. This is a blessed time that we live in, more so than any that has come before, because we have a completed Bible. And Lord, we come together to study it, to learn it, to talk about it, to share it, to live it. And Father, we pray that that by your grace we would be able to do all those things. Be our teacher here. And throughout the service, we pray, Father, in our Savior's name. Amen. John chapter 16. Jesus says, These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Let's stop there. We've been talking about the fundamentals of dispensationalism and how that God has been, from the beginning of the world, he creates his house, his place of habitation, way back there in Genesis chapter 1, and since that time he has been building that that house order and building his household to fill that house and to dwell in it with him. And we've been talking about how that happens in phases, in stages that the Bible calls dispensations. And last time we got together, a couple weeks ago, we talked about what Paul calls dispensations of the gospel, and how that there is essentially one gospel that is broken up into many different pieces and different dispensations, so that when you see how these folks down here in innocence, and as you go through conscience and civil government and up through the dispensations, how that under each house order, people are saved by believing different things. And ultimately, the salvation for all the household is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible for the remission of sins for all people of all ages, but all people of all ages didn't know that was coming, and what they did, they got saved by believing what God said to them. And for you and for me, we get saved the same way, essentially, believing what God says to us in this dispensation of grace. We can't get saved, we saw, by believing, for example, the gospel that was preached to Abraham. What was the gospel that was preached to Abraham? In thee and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Abraham believed that. He had no children yet. He was getting old, past the age to bear children. God said, not only are you going to have a child, but you're going to have a multitude like the sand of the sea, and not only that, but all the families of the earth are going to be blessed in your seed. And Abraham believed God when he said that to him, and God counted that to him for righteousness. Abraham got saved believing that message. Now you and I, we can't get saved believing that message, and we can't go out and preach that message and expect people to get saved believing it, because our message is different. Now, what that all is what we call in Bible study terminology progressive revelation. Here in this chapter, John 16, in the verses we just looked at, the Lord says in verse 4 again, He says, "These things have I told you," all the stuff that came before, "that when the time shall come you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." So there are some things that the Lord tells His disciples at certain times. And He says, I'm telling you this now for a reason. Back in verse 1, it's so that you should not be offended. That is, when these things happen, they start throwing you out of the synagogue, and whoever kills you is going to think he's doing God's service. When that kind of thing happens, you will already have that information so that you won't be offended. That is, you won't go off thinking that something has gone wrong. This is not the way it's supposed to go. Well, the Lord gives them information. He gives them revelation so that they know how to function in the environment, in the house order, in the dispensation that they need to function in. And He says there in verse 4, what I'm telling you now, I didn't tell you before. Because, and there's a reason for that. He says, because I was with you. Then up in verse 12, He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So, there are some things I didn't tell you in the beginning. I'm telling you them now, and I've got more to say to you, but I'm not going to give you that now. That's going to have to wait until you're able to bear it. And when are you going to be able to bear it? Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So what you're seeing in that passage is what we call progressive revelation. God does not reveal everything to man all at once. That's why we saw last time one of the great errors in the church today is thinking that these people down here in these early dispensations knew what we know up here. And God, what He said here in the dispensation of grace, He didn't say at the beginning. He told them Come to Isaiah chapter 48 with me. Watch the same thing. He told them what they needed to know. Isaiah chapter 48. And we talked about it, we concentrated on the gospel last time. But this truth and this principle applies to all of God's information. He gives it a little bit at a time. And it's important, critical for you as you're studying your Bible, not to anticipate revelation. That is, don't assume that people in the earlier dispensations knew what people in later dispensations did. Because again, what that's going to do is it's going to end up weakening and watering down and mixing and perverting what you know, what you've been told, what God has revealed to you and to me. Because if it's all blended together in my mind, well, then it's all going to be blended together in my understanding, in my practice, the way I live my life, the way I teach, and what I know and what I understand, and how I relate to God. And you can't do that. You need to go with the information that you have and understand that God has been building up to that. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. So the Lord, back there in John chapter 16, he says, I didn't tell you this at the beginning. I'm telling it to you now. I got more stuff to say that I'm not going to tell you yet. And all of that for a reason. And the reason that he gives is that you're not able to bear it. And the human race is not able to bear in the garden and coming out of the garden in the dispensation of conscience and after the flood and under the law and all of these, the human race was not able to bear what you and I know today. Why not? Number one, because it was young. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not going to be able to look at all of these verses. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? For you were not able to bear it. Same thing the Lord said. You can't bear it. Why not? Because they were young. They were babes. The human race, what you see here as you go through God's house order and the developing of the dispensations, Adam and Eve are put in the garden and they're naked and they're not ashamed. Well, who is that? Well, that's a baby, isn't it? Naked and not ashamed. That's an infant. That's the human race. That's where we started. When you know what, as a matter of fact, you come and you look at the house orders. What's your house order when you're an infant? It's one world ruler, isn't it? And you know who that world ruler is? It's you, isn't it? There is nobody else, right? You get hungry. What do? You sit around and wait for someone else to tell you when it's time to eat? No, you want to be fed and you want it now. You're looking around at all, you know, whoever all you peasants are that are walking around my crib here, I need to be fed and I need it now. Right? one world ruler. That's your world order. That's your house order. That's what governs your world. Well, then time moves on, and over time, what happens to your house order? Well, you start to come under a different form of government, head of household. Well, now you don't call all the shots. Now there's somebody over you. There's a whole world going on out here, but you don't know it. You don't see it. As far as you're concerned, the ultimate authority is head of household. Well, then you grow up a little more and you start going out and realizing there's a world out there, and you come under rule of law. And it, what you're seeing here is you're seeing the development of God's household from infancy growing up into adulthood and through. So let me ask you, when you've got a little baby, even a small child, you tell a small child, don't talk to strangers, don't take candy from strangers. Well, you don't give them all the information that's behind that order. They're not able to bear that. Why? Why shouldn't I? Because I said so. That's why. When you grow up, you can, you know, you can understand the fuller details, but I don't need to be telling you why not. When you're 3 years old, you can't bear it. So there's that. There's the world. God is building his household, just like you and I, we build our household. You raise up your kids from childhood. You give them the information that they need. You feed them with milk and not with meat. As they grow, they can have more and more solid food. And they get more and more information and more deeper understanding of things. Also, here in Isaiah chapter 48, because man coming out of the garden here is a sinner. So God says, I told you this stuff from the beginning. Why? Because I told it to you in verse 5 before it came to pass, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. So God gives us revelation enough to know that he's the one that created all things and that's doing these things, so that when they come to pass, we'll know, hey, this is what God said is going to come to pass. Then he says in verse 6, thou hast heard, see all this, and will not you declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. So some things he told them from the beginning. Some things he didn't. He says, I've told you that from the beginning so that you wouldn't say your idol did it. And now he says, I've showed you new things from this time, even hidden things, that thou didst not know them. So there are some things that God kept hidden. He didn't tell them until the time appointed. And why does he do that? Verse 7, they are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Well, now you got a pride issue, don't you? See, so both of those things are because the revelation that God does give and the revelation he doesn't give in that passage, the reason for it is the same. Because men are sinners and they can't bear it. They won't do the right thing with it. They'll take it and they'll pervert it. And they'll let it puff them up. They'll do everything that sinners do. They can't bear it. So, what God does is he gives us what we can bear. And once we get that, then he gives us the next thing. And the next thing, and that is, again, what we call progressive revelation. Now, come over with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. You remember The Karate Kid? Anybody see that movie?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but kid wants to learn martial arts, and he meets the old master, right? And the guy agrees to teach him. So he goes over to his house every day. And does the guy teach him martial arts? No. He says, "Here, come over here. I want you to paint my fence." Right? The kid says, "Okay, you know, I'll go and do that." And he goes. He gives him a brush and a bucket of paint, and he goes to start painting his fence. And he goes, "No, not like that. Do it like this." And then he you know, shows him how to do it. And the kid's going, "What difference does it make how I do it? You got me painting your fence to start with. Now you're going to worry about exactly how it's supposed to be done for what? Just never mind. Just do it the way I tell you. I'm going to wash my car and wax it." "Not like that. Do it like this." See, of course, you know, then when the kid's about ready to say, "You know what, this is crazy. I'm just your slave labor here. You ain't taught me nothing." All of a sudden, the kid realizes that what he's been teaching him is what he's been asking to learn the whole time. He just didn't know it until the time came. So he tells him, you know how the movie goes. See, that's what God is doing here. He tells these people here, "Do this. Offer an animal sacrifice." Why? What's the point of that? Never mind what's the point of that. Just do it. Build a tabernacle. Not like that. Do it like this. According to the pattern that I'm giving you. Why, Lord? Never mind why. Just do it. And then there comes a time where all of a sudden you realize that's why he had us doing all of that. It's because what he finally reveals here in this dispensation of grace, now we understand why he did all that he did, why he did it the way that he did. He was building revelation. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 22. "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So the law, Paul says, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law was teaching what that foundational truth that needed to come before the world was able to bear the truth of God's salvation. That He Himself would become a man and would die in order to pay His own, the penalty that He requires because of our sin. That He would take that on Himself in human flesh, and that He would provide by His own blood the redemption for the sins of all mankind. The world was not able to bear that until they got the schooling and these years and these generations of foundation, so that when Christ came, we would know it was God. It was doing this, that was building up, that was leading up to this the whole time. And Christ's death on the cross was not a defeat for God. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. Testing, testing. But God knew it the whole time. And not only did He know it the whole time, He planned it, He decreed it the whole time. The law is our schoolmaster. But you see what He says there in verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law. Well, wasn't there any faith under the law? Sure, there was faith. But listen again. What is the vast majority of Christianity out there? What are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you that man was always justified by faith alone. And that's simply not the case. Paul says the law was before faith came. Now what he's talking about, there's faith under the law. Read Hebrews 11 and see how everybody back from Abel on down through did what they did by faith. He's not saying that faith didn't exist. He's talking about this dispensation of justification by faith alone. Before that was revealed, we were kept under the law. Look what he says back in verse 12. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. People under the law, that is, it's not by faith alone. There's work to be done there. That's what Paul's talking about here. See, as you grow up through this progression here, you in your early adulthood, you need to be governed by an external law, because as children and into early adulthood, we want to do what we want to do. We want to come back here to live the way it's right in our own eyes and just do what we want to do, and we can't do that, so we have to be under a law. As you get, you know, a little bit older, hopefully you gain some maturity, and that responsibility and that decent behavior and doing the right thing is more of an internal thing as you get older. So the Lord brings the world through that progression until we get to grace, until we get to that internal motivation. And you know, as you go on up through here, you get your rest in the kingdom. That's, you know, here the world is, if you compare this 7,000 years to 70 human lifespan, it's 100 years for a year. You go through all this time, by the time you get to grace, you're about 40. And that takes us, given it 2,000 years, from 40 to 60. See, then here in the kingdom, you're 60 to 70. That's your rest. See, that's where it, you know, where all of this toil and suffering here, you begin to reap the fruits of it, and you can relax. That's your retirement, right? And then, of course, after here, then you go off into eternity, right? See, that's what God's doing. He's building his house. He's raising the human race. Where you and I are today, watch you read on here in Galatians chapter 3, verse. So the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It teaches us what we need to know in order to bear the truth for today. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Once school's out, school's out. Don't need to listen to the schoolmaster anymore, right? Why? Because we've got that. We've got the foundation. We've got that education. We've got what we need. Now we're ready to move into the truth of adulthood. So Paul says, and he goes on down through, and we won't read chapter 4 about the difference between, you know, being a child and being an adult in the eyes of God. And what he's saying here, look in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Even so we everybody, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's the law. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And he compares that to a person, to a child, who moves out of childhood into adulthood. And Paul says the world was that way, and that's how God has treated the world. Today, where you and I live, today, in the year 2012 AD, and for the last 1900 years, God has seen this world as an adult. We don't need to be under the elements and rudiments of the world. We don't need those pictures and those partial truths. We can handle the truth, the full revelation, as God's household, and we are expected to do that. Now, come with me to Second. I'll tell you what. You know what? Get two passages with me. Get Exodus chapter 34. We're going to get Exodus 34. And I want to get Acts 26, and let's do this. I want to compare these two verses, and then I want to talk to you about another reason why Revelation is progressive. Acts 26, Exodus 34. Understanding this, that Revelation is progressive, will help you. It'll help you when you're studying the whole Bible for all the reasons that we've been talking about. And it'll help you when you study God's Word to you. Because not only has Revelation been progressive up through the dispensations from the beginning of the world, but the Revelation in each dispensation is progressive, including the one that you and I are in today. So there are some things that happen in the beginning of this dispensation that drop away by a little bit later on. And sometimes that confuses people. They look at things like Paul baptizing people, and they go, well, how come Paul baptized people? Well, because Revelation is progressive. How come Paul circumcised Timothy? How come the early church was speaking in tongues and healing and doing all those things? Because Revelation is progressive. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, this passage Paul refers to in exactly the same context that we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, Paul says that when Moses received his revelation, he had to put a veil on his face, and that's what we're about to read here. And the reason that he did that was so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the end of what Moses was given them. The end of the law. Now, what is the end of the law? Who is the end of the law? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all them that believe. But they couldn't see that. It was kept from them. It was hidden from them. It was veiled. Well, that's what we're seeing here, the actual event. Exodus 34, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he didn't know, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. So Moses gets the revelation that he gets, and the children of Israel are afraid. They can't bear it. Hebrews says that when that mountain shook and smoked and was on fire, the children of Israel stood afar off, and they told Moses, "You go and talk to God. We're not gonna." Why? And it says they could not endure that which was commanded. That's why. They couldn't bear it. So Moses comes, his face is shining, they're all afraid. So afterward, verse 32, the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. So there you go. Moses got the whole law all at once. He came down, he dropped it all on them all at once, right? No, read on. Verse 34. So he gives them that, he's got the veil on his face, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him into the tabernacle, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of his face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with God. Now what's happening here? Progressive revelation. Moses is going in and out, into the presence of God and out. He goes in, he takes that veil off, he gets some of the revelation. He goes out, he puts that veil on, and he gives that to Israel. He goes back in again, and this is happening over time. He gets more. He comes out, he gives that piece of it. That's progressive revelation. Look in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, Paul is recounting his conversion. And he sees the Lord on the road to Damascus. And the Lord says to him, in part, verse 16, Acts 26, 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." See? Progressive revelation. Paul got some of it up front, and then he got a series of revelations over time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He didn't get it all at once, just like Moses didn't get it all at once. 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So as he's writing 2 Corinthians, he doesn't have it all yet. Now, back in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the mystery and the things that have been kept secret from before the foundation of the world. He knew that. He had that, or at least he had pieces of it. But here he says, "I've still got visions and revelations to come." Go down through the passage, verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So see what Paul got, what he calls an abundance of revelations. So that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, come there with me. What you see in Paul's earlier epistles is not always what carries through. Some of it does. Some of it does not, because he's getting the revelation a little at a time. Some of that old stuff is still there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. This church, if you read chapter 12, the chapter just before where we are here, is speaking in tongues and healing and doing all of these kind of miraculous things. This is the body of Christ. He tells them right in the midst of that chapter, chapter 12, verse 13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. And that's where all of these sign gifts are going on, and tongues and healing and all of that. But here he says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, what's he talking about there? When he says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, he's not saying that something back here in the prophetic scripture is not going to come to pass. He's talking about the gift of prophecy is going to stop. Tongues are going to cease. That doesn't mean people are going to stop talking, or there aren't going to be languages anymore. It's talking about the gift of tongues. It's going to stop. Knowledge is going to vanish away. Well, you know that we're not going to stop knowing stuff. He's talking about the gift of knowledge. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He's talking about that complete revelation. We prophesy in part. We speak and know in part. The revelation so far is not full, but it's going to be soon. And when it is, all of these gifts that get direct revelation from God to fill in the void are going to be done away. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, see, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things, see. When I became a man, those childish things go away. We're no longer under a schoolmaster. We don't need to be relating to God in partial understanding and in partial knowledge and without the full assurance of the acknowledgement of the mystery. Understanding that we have a complete revelation now. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. That's where you are today. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So what do we have today? We've got faith. Before faith came, we had something else, Paul said, right? Today, we've got faith, hope, and charity. Look, faith, hope, and charity. People look at this passage and they say, well, when that which is perfect is come, is talking about when we get to heaven. Are you going to need faith in heaven?
No.
What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're not going to need faith in heaven. Are you going to need hope in heaven? No. Why? Paul says that we hope for that we see not. What are you going to have? And see, that's why now, today, we have faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Why? Because even faith and hope is going to go away. Charity is what abides. Charity is, Paul says, the end of the commandment is charity. See, that's where we're moving toward here. What God is teaching the world through these dispensations is about His love in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that applies to you and to me. And it took all of this time and all of these different ways and all of this building in order to get to what you and I know today. The revelation has been progressive. We're up here. We're getting up towards the top here. You don't want to be hanging in, you know, you have all of this, reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know how to add two and two, right? But, you know, you in your everyday function, you graduate and you go through your advanced education and you become a professional mathematician, you don't spend your days adding two and two. You're doing trigonometry and calculus and all of that good stuff, right? Because you've got the foundations already laid, but here's where you're using it. Here, at the high level, that's where we're walking, in that advanced revelation. We'll leave it there. Do you have a question? I wanted to get into some other things, but I ran out of time.
I was wondering if you would think that in what you're saying about the partial revelation about the angels as a babe in Christ.
Yeah.
When one becomes a believer, it would seem that once they become a believer, they actually have to start at the innocent stage.
There is a progression. Yeah, but it doesn't take 7,000 years. Yeah, yeah. Paul, we're studying Acts on Wednesday night, and we're seeing how quickly Paul got those churches. He goes into Thessalonica. He's there, the Acts says, for 3 weeks, probably a little bit longer than that, but not much. And he's got, those people are dying for their faith over there and holding on. And from them, the word of God is being spread abroad. It doesn't take forever to get through that process, yeah. And it's a lifetime of learning, but to be grounded, rooted and grounded and functioning shouldn't take us 30 years.
So most Christians, from my own understanding, what I know about the Christians that I know, they're all stuck in the righteousness and the law.
Yeah.
They're all stuck there.
Yeah. And that's why Paul really focuses on that throughout his entire ministry. He doesn't tell you a whole lot about, you know, don't try to go back under conscience and don't try to go back under Noah. His focus is on the law, because that's where we get stuck. There is that hurdle for the world to come out from under that and into grace, because this is a huge leap, and we'll see as we continue. This dispensation and this change from, see, this is not just, you know, here you change from this into this and from innocence into conscience, and it's a step at a time, baby steps. See, here grace is different, because what grace is a separate thing that's really a leap from all of this into this. So it is a leap into spiritual adulthood that is unlike anything that's come before, and the world finds it difficult to bear. So some people still have trouble bearing it.
Guilt and angst involved, yeah. And trying to make yourself say, well, I need the law, I want to be righteous, and I can only be righteous through the law. And yeah. grace says, well, you don't need to do all that, although we do want to follow the law. And then you get the confusion right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, not only do you not need to do that, but you're never going to get where you're trying to go by doing that. It's sure, we want to see the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us, but you can't do it by putting yourself under the law. That's the mystery, is that it's all done in Christ, and that's where it's going to be done for in our lives if it's going to happen.
See, Dave, the law is the basis of religion.
Yeah. It's well, the basis of religion goes back to Babel, but if there was to be a good and workable religion, it would be the law. Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
How I see, like Catholicism. See, Catholicism claims to that law.
Mm-hmm.
I see that biblically.
Yeah. Yeah, including the priesthood and you know, having the priest make your sacrifices for you,
right.
and all of that. And it is but the problem with that is that God doesn't suffer fools gladly, and He expects us to be adult. He expects people, as He moves through these transitions, to keep up. And so when we do that today, He doesn't say, oh, you know, the little, you know, retarded person who's 40 years old and still acting like they're two. He says, you need to act like you're 40. And if you don't do that, you're disobedient and you will not be accepted. You need to keep up. What did you have?
So, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing God's relationship. Just like this chart, you know, and from talking to other people that are Christians, you know, you hear them say, I'm a child of God, and that makes me think they're stuck in the law.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on how you mean that,
well,
I guess,
exactly.
But yeah, because we are children of God, but we're not children.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're thinking like that, and you think that there's works you have to do, and, you know, you got to do it to get righteous, and, you know, then... Yeah, you are stuck there.
Yeah.
So you haven't got the full thing. And so that's why I say that's like the whole relationship of God with man. And I can see it, you know, you're saying this is God, this is, we're the creature.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it going on up. And you see, we should be in grace.
Yeah.
We are reconciled, you know, and it states it plainly, but people say, I'm reconciled, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, there's always that but, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. What you got, Bree?
Yeah, most churches that I attend to, they base their whole faith on being in that many years. I was 20-something years. They base their whole faith on the law of Moses, keeping under law, which they don't realize that. And they still using that because they faith in works.
Yeah.
They put that together. And then they go back and you got to be baptized and you got to be... It's always something you got to do.
Yeah.
And as long as you got to do it,
yeah, you're in that. You're still in that place that Paul calls before faith came. before faith came. What are you doing there? Get out of there. Faith has come. What'd you have, Dwayne?
I was going to say, you know, Bible said that love works by faith, and it said that. The law is not of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So these things that's, and you just said that everything's already been done in Christ. So these things that's been done in Christ works as we believe it and walk in what we believe.
Yes.
That's the maturity.
Yeah.
Believe it. That is nothing that we can do.
Right.
It's already been done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just have to walk in that in the faith of that. And then it began to manifest in us.
And it is.
Just being human.
It is very difficult. Yeah.
Because you have to go out into the world, mm-hmm. and in the world, everything is based on what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very difficult, and that's that whole idea of carnal versus spiritual. Like you said, it's hard for a human being to, well, it's impossible for a human being to get that stuff, and that's why the Lord told them, I got more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit comes, He'll guide you into that. Paul says to the Corinthians, I could only give you the milk, the basics, because you're carnal. I couldn't talk to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, because and being carnal, you can't bear that truth. The carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. It's only by the Holy Spirit of God, and that is a big part of what enabled this leap into this next phase of revelation, was the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's only by Him, by faith, that we're able to understand any of this. And for the natural man, it's impossible. For man, it is impossible. But you can get it. As a Christian, you can.
And not have to do anything except believe. It's like, that's all?
Yeah.
all those stories of you're in a river, you're drowning. You just want somebody to throw you a rope. You can't do anything but drown if you don't get the rope.
Yeah.
So, but you can believe that, but you can't believe you have to drown.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and in a very strange way, and you find this in life too, is that maturity has a tendency to kind of bring you full circle, and what you learn in maturity is kind of what you knew instinctively in innocence, and that is that you are absolutely and totally dependent on someone else to do everything for you. Otherwise, you're going to lay there like a turtle and die. Someone else needs... See, but the thing is that the one world ruler changes in maturity. Your dependence, you come back to that idea of absolute dependence, but now you realize that you're not in charge. That God is the one. And that's, you know, that process of maturity. I got to get out of the way. Thanks, y'all.